Hi, Bonnie. How are you? Who's that guy sitting next to you? Hi, Richard. How are you? Good to see you. Hi, how are you? So, I guess while we're waiting for some others to make their way into the other elected officials to make their way into the chamber, I can sort of do the warm up, as it were. How many of you are? This is your first time in the city council chambers. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it very much. So this is in this chamber. My job is to maintain decorum, and decorum means that I do everything I can to facilitate the exchange of and the presentation of people's opinion, no matter what the opinion is. So for people to feel very comfortable, that means that we don't hoot, holler, clap. We don't do anything like that. Basically, it's quiet. And if you like something, you're welcome to do this. And if you don't like something, you're welcome to do that. Your signs, if they haven't already made the announcement, the signs are great. You have to keep them below your chin. Otherwise, security gets really nervous. And the people behind you might have their view blocked. If you want to testify, you sign up on the sign-up sheet outside the door, because there are people in the both levels of the chamber. Carla, who is our excellent city council clerk, will be calling the folks that need to come up and testify, but she'll also call the following four beyond that, so that if you're in the balcony, you have time to come down and just wait at the door over here. You'll be asked to give your name, even if I say your name by local rules. You just give us your name. We do not want your address. We don't want your phone number. We don't want your email address. You could have a Twitter handle. No, you don't need to do your Twitter name, anything. Just your name and address. And we're really glad that you're here. Oh, one other thing. Local law requires that if you're speaking on behalf of a business, an organization, if you're speaking for yourself, you don't need to say anything. But if you're speaking for someone else authorized to speak for a group or a business, you need to declare that after you introduce yourself. Other than that, again, just your name. We're really glad you're here. We will start with 3 minutes of testimony each, or two, depending on how many people sign up. And then it's up to me to decide. We will get down to as short as a minute, just to get people, everyone at least, an opportunity to come up and say a few words. How many people have signed up? It's still out there. Okay. Did I forget any house? Oh, the restrooms are located on both floors, and the men's is on the south end, and the women's is on the north end. And with that, Carla, did you have a good lunch?
I did.
Did you?
Yes.
All right. City Council will come to order. Can you turn the mics up? City Council will come to order as we await our television. There we are. Carla, can you please call the roll?
Saltzman, Leonard, Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Adams.
Here. The quorum is present. We have consideration this afternoon of time certain, 2 o'clock. Can you please read item number 1073?
Adopt a policy opposing coal trains traveling through the city of Portland until an area-wide environmental impact statement is completed.
Commissioner Amanda Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. This is another example of the community bringing an issue to the council and us acting in response to that. And we have heard many concerns over the course of this year regarding coal transport through the city of Portland. This resolution calls for a comprehensive environmental assessment to be done before any coal trains come through Portland. And so since it's in response to the community concerns, I'm going to invite our panelists to come up and give us the outline of what this is and why we believe it's necessary. So if you could please come forward. Thank you, everybody, for being here. I know you took time out of your day on a Wednesday afternoon to come down here, and we greatly appreciate it. Who would like to begin?
I think it was decided that I would go first. My name is Martin Donahue. I am a physician, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself, my family, my patients, and Physicians for Social Responsibility of Oregon. As I said, I'm a doctor. I'm also an adjunct associate professor in the School of Community Health at Portland State. I run the Public Health and Social Justice website and have authored a textbook on public health and social justice. And I speak nationally on issues relevant to environmental health and environmental justice, and I'm widely published in that area. We Oregonians pride ourselves on our relatively clean environment and promotion of renewable energies. Why on earth would we want to step back into the 19th century and foster the use of coal, the most toxic of fossil fuels? After all, Oregon is closing its one coal-burning power plant by 2020 because of its toxic effects on human health and the environment. If coal companies have their way, each year over 150 million tons of coal from the Powder River Basin of Wyoming and Montana will be transported on trains and barges through the Columbia Gorge, through Portland, to ships bound for Asian power plants. This number of tons is expected to possibly increase fivefold by the year 2030. Coal production is harmful to its workers and to everyone else along the lines, from the mines, to the trains, to the barges, to the ports. Vulnerable populations which live close to transportation routes are at special risk. Again, my concern is not only for my patients, but also for the population at large, and my family, including my nephews, who suffer from asthma exacerbations on smoggy days. Coal dust is a major health problem for people with allergies, asthma, chronic bronchitis, emphysema, and heart disease. Coal dust also contains toxic metals like mercury, lead, arsenic, and cadmium. Because of the risk of spontaneous combustion, coal trains are left uncovered, and each car is estimated to lose 1 pound of coal dust for each mile traveled, or 3% of their coal load over the course of a trip. Now keep in mind, these trains, and there would be 26 per day traveling through the Portland metropolitan area, each consisting of about 100 cars powered by 4 diesel engines. Not even PGE, which currently operates Oregon's only coal-burning power plant, wants a coal export terminal next to their natural gas plant at the Port of St. Helens. According to their spokesman, quote, "the coal dust could be a substantial problem for our equipment," end quote. It's a far worse problem for the lungs of asthmatics, emphysema patients, young children, and the elderly. And again, how are these trains and barges powered? By diesel, which can impair lung function and lung development in young children, can cause asthma, lung cancer, heart disease, and increases the risk of stroke. The very small 2.5 micron size diesel particles can get all the way down to the distal bronchioles and airways in the lungs and act like a sponge in transporting more than 40 different toxic substances, which are either known or suspected carcinogens, down into the deepest portions of the airways. These mile-long coal trains take between 5 and 7 minutes to pass through communities at about 15 miles per hour, blocking emergency vehicles like ambulances and fire trucks from crossing from one side of town to the other. A projected 94% increase in barge traffic through the gorge would also threaten the safety of boaters, fishermen, and windsurfers on the Columbia and increase the number of accidents. Also, the incessant noise of coal trains rumbling through our community can cause sleep disorders, cardiovascular disease, including an increased risk of hypertension, heart attack, and stroke, and exacerbation of multiple mental health disorders, including anxiety, depression, and schizophrenia. This can also contribute to fatigue and poor learning in children whose schools are near the train tracks. We should be concerned also that the coal burned in Asia harms residents of China and India, but also concerned that the toxic emissions come back to haunt us in the form of mercury, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxides, ozones, and 50 other toxic compounds. A 2008 study found that Asian emissions of mercury contribute 18% of springtime mercury concentrations on Mount Bachelor. Mercury is a potent neurotoxin that damages developing brains in children and fetuses. It's estimated that between 300,000 and 600,000 children are born each year in the United States with dangerous levels of mercury in their bodies, putting them at heightened risk for developmental disabilities, mental retardation, seizures, and disturbances of gait and speech. I wish that were all, but unfortunately, coal also contributes to or is a leading cause of carbon dioxide contribution to the environment, which increases the risk of global warming with its consequent health and environmental impacts on the Northwest. So finally, I'll add, since my time has run out here, that as physicians, we at Portland, or at Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, are very concerned about the risk to human health and the environment from train shipments of coal through our communities, and these health effects are significant, and we support this resolution strongly and appreciate Commissioner Fritz for bringing this to the City Council today. And I am also privileged and thankful for the opportunity to speak before you.
Hi, my name is Sadie Clark. I am a business owner here in Portland. I own a manufacturing business. We're about 12 years old. I am also the founder of a sustainable business alliance called Voice for Oregon Innovation and Sustainability. And in my roles with my own business and with Voice, I care very much about the prosperity of our region and about jobs. So when a proposal comes up that represents jobs, that's very compelling and something that we want to look at very closely. One of the things that sustainability teaches us, though, is to look at things in a holistic, long-term sort of way. So are the jobs that this the coal export might provide to our region going to be offset by other prosperity impacts to our region? And along those lines, I'd like to propose that we think about the fact that anything that we do to decrease China's production costs or increase their markets hurts American manufacturing businesses. Due to environmental regulations and public concern about air pollution, mercury in the environment, and global warming, America's coal consumption is going down, and we are investing in new technologies that allow us to make power without damaging the environment and human health. However, if we ship our coal to China, not only will it override those benefits to human and environmental health and global warming, it will hurt the U.S. economy by giving Chinese businesses the unfair advantage of cheap, dirty power. As an example, my business designs and manufactures lighting. Our biggest competition is always Chinese-made product, which is invariably cheaper. They can make things cheaper in part because of their access to cheap power and the absence of environmental regulation. When architects and designers specify our products, we can create more living wage jobs with benefits here in Portland. When customers choose to buy our competitors' cheaper Chinese-made products instead of ours, we cannot add jobs and might even lose some. Multiply this effect by every manufacturing business in our region, and you have the difference.
Let me see that mic go off. Just hit that button.
Oh, sorry. If you multiply that by all the manufacturing businesses in our region, you start to see the difference between a robust economy based on manufacturing domestically and a shrinking economy where not enough people have good living wage jobs and opportunities. Also, think about Portland's reputation. Portland's economy is positively impacted by our reputation as one of America's greenest cities. Our excellent quality of life and commitment to doing things in a little more thoughtful, future-oriented way has called forth a river of talent to move here and add to our economy. As the Oregonian said this morning, Portland is not where young people go to retire. It's where they go to work, get educated, start businesses and families, all of which contribute to our economy. Companies like Google move to Oregon not just for access to our natural resources, but also because they know they can attract world-class talent here, because those people are drawn to our unique quality of life. What a lot of those people and companies don't know yet, but probably will soon, is that Portland also has some of the worst air quality in the country. The worst contributor to that pollution is diesel exhaust here in the Portland area. If we allow more trains to go through Portland, spewing out their cancer and asthma-causing exhaust and increasing air pollution from cars and trucks by delaying street traffic, how will that impact our livability and our reputation? In the long run, our economy will lose a lot more than it stands to gain. And you know what they say about reputation. It's easier to protect than it is to repair. I thank Commissioner Fritz for her leadership on this issue. I urge the Portland City Council to vote to protect Portland's jobs and reinvigorate our economy by opposing the export of American coal to China in any way possible. Opposing its transport through our fair city is a good start.
Good afternoon. My name is Paul Lemley. Welcome, I'm the Executive Director of the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission. I want to thank you, Mr. Mayor, and members of the City Council for this opportunity to provide you our comments on coal transportation. The tribes support energy and economic development, but the burden of development should not be borne on the backs of salmon or the tribal fishermen or the environment for which we all depend upon. Tribal culture on the Columbia River is intimately tied to that river. Our communities live right along the river, right next to the railroad tracks. We fish in the river. When trains come by, we feel them. The ground shakes. We are very close to these train tracks. We are very concerned about any kind of coal transportation that goes through our tribal fishing communities because we are covered by the dust of those coal trains that come by right now. Coal dust is a big problem. It gets into our lungs, gets into our homes and our gardens and our children's play areas, causes significant health risks to our communities who live along the river. Those outdoor storage facilities are proposed in St. Helens and Longview. They're not just an eyesore. They're also ways of contributing contamination and toxins into an already burdened Columbia River. We read not too long ago in the Oregonian that for each train car, 225 pounds of coal dust comes out in the transportation in 135-car train, 567 miles. That's 15 tons of coal dust that comes out of these trains. That's just one train. One train is extreme. We're talking about several trains per day for years. That's a lot of coal dust. Not only do we have problems and concerns about coal dust, but we also have concerns about the increased train traffic. We've had our tribal fishers die trying to cross these train tracks. Increased train traffic is a real threat to us. We also have concerns about the proposal for the Port of Morrow. That'll dramatically increase barge traffic along the Columbia. Barge traffic causes havoc with our fishing gear. It's a threat to our fishermen. In fact, myself, fishing along the Columbia, I was nearly run over by a barge at night while we were fishing. So they're a danger, and increasing barge traffic is not a good addition to the tribal fishing community. Dock construction at the Port of Morrow, I've already heard from two of our tribes that we have registered treaty Indian fishing rights, rights that are reserved in our treaties of 1855 that have gone all the way to the United States Supreme Court 7 times. We were victorious. We have fishing sites right there at the Port of Morrow. We had another port that was proposed for construction, actually started construction at the Port of Arlington, but the Corps of Engineers hadn't completed their consultation with the tribes. Those pilings are now being removed. As mentioned earlier, as we export coal, it gets burned in Asia and comes back to us in the form of contaminated rain, acid rain, and mercury. This rain falls into our sensitive watersheds. And you all are aware of the tremendous program out there to restore salmon runs throughout the Pacific Northwest. Everybody in the Pacific Northwest contributes to that program in one way or the other. This will not help in our recovery efforts for salmon. Increased mercury. We've already heard about increased mercury getting into our environment and into our fish. You probably are aware that the tribes eat 10 times more fish than the general public. That's a lot more mercury being delivered into the bodies of our tribal fishermen and their families. Now, I am so happy to sit here before you and congratulate the state of Oregon for all the hard work they did to now have the most strict water quality standard in the nation. Truly is amazing. That work was done because of the tribe's work. We looked at how many fish we were consuming, and we ate 10 times more fish. We had a partnership with the Environmental Protection Agency and found the contaminants in these fish were a huge problem. So let's not take a hasty step backward. We've already made a wonderful step forward to protect the environment and our lives and our bodies. Let's not take a hasty step backwards. Now, as I mentioned before, we are in favor of more jobs, better wages in our economy, but it should not be at the expense of our health. Attached to my written testimony, which I've provided to you, is a letter from the Yakama Nation dated May 3rd, and that provides more detail on the threats that these coal proposals are providing. So I urge you, the City Council, to reject these proposals until we have a more complete environmental impact statement. Right now, we hear about these threats. I can tell you the threats are real, but we need to have those threats documented. And I urge you to oppose these proposals until we have a completed environmental impact statement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hello, I'm Angela Moose. I'm a resident of Portland. And I want to thank Mayor Adams and the council members this afternoon. I'm honored to address the City Council hearing, and I sincerely ask for your support in passing the resolution before you today to oppose coal trains traveling through the City of Portland until the Army Corps of Engineers requires and completes an area-wide environmental impact statement. I come today as a voice from the North Portland Chairs Coalition, the Canton Neighborhood Association Board of Directors, and a homeowner in North Portland. Both the North Portland Chairs and the KNA sent letters to Governor Kitzhaber this summer asking for a comprehensive health impact assessment to include cumulative effects, a programmatic environmental impact statement, and a transportation impact analysis. We stress the importance for full assessment prior to allowing proposals to add coal export that comes through or adjacent to our neighborhoods and potentially creating major health safety concerns. I'm engaged in neighborhood advocacy because I want to support the positive shift in the demographic picture of North Portland. We see the extensive growth of our community's pride, the desire to achieve more sustainable living practices, and the efforts that are making our neighborhoods a better place to live. I see neighborhood association leaders making big strides to strengthen the livability quotient by combating graffiti, taking the steps forward for emergency preparedness, creating community gardens, engaging to bolster our local business communities, preserving natural resources such as the Baltimore Woods and Forest Lake, and extending the gateway to nature to all Portland citizens. In reminiscence with my elderly mother this summer, she talked of her childhood glee when a fresh snowfall fell in Spokane in the winter and covered the dirty snow from the effects of the coal-powered furnaces used in the 1920s. I hate to think that in North Portland we could see a similar view with our homes and vehicles being covered in gray film of coal dust, our gardens and vegetation contaminated by carcinogens from the coal dust and the diesel train engine fumes, and watch our growing livable neighborhoods plummet as we become the handicapped city neighborhood sacrificed to coal exportation. Is there a tipping point when the livability and health of our neighbors is considered? We are already living with days smelling metal and ozone in the air. We listen to the train whistles all hours of the day. We're hearing the horns of the ships as they come into the port facilities and catching the squeal of large trucks braking, all of this supporting the economy of our region. Portland prides itself for sustainability, greenness, and the benefits of our natural resources. It would be my hope the investment made by the city for our lovely new Canton Community Garden is not an example of a lost asset for the future of North Portland's livability, and that our children and families going forward can safely breathe the air and have vital, healthy lives in North Portland neighborhoods. I therefore urge your support in passing this resolution. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Commissioners and Mayor Adams, for considering this resolution and holding this public hearing on such an exceptionally important issue. My name is Bethany Cotton, And I'm here today on behalf of the Power Past Coal Coalition, an ever-growing alliance of more than 100 health, environmental, clean energy, faith, and community groups working to stop coal exports off the west coast of the U.S. I live in southeast Portland, near enough to the rail lines to hear trains every day. I grew up in rural southern Oregon and have lived in the Portland area for more than a decade. And I'm here to say that this is not coal country, and we don't want it to become so. As an individual and your constituent, I am also here because many of the people and the places I love most are directly in the path of the coal industry's plans for the Pacific Northwest. And it is unfathomable to me that we would imperil these communities and remaining wild places by turning the Columbia River Gorge in Portland into a giant coal chute. This is not a partisan issue, nor is it a rural versus urban divide issue or a jobs versus the environment issue. It's an issue of whether this city, this state, and this region decide to tie our future to the dirtiest fossil fuel on the planet, a commodity that is highly volatile, both in terms of global markets and in terms of its tendency to combust. People from all walks of life, from different political persuasions, business owners, recreationists, fisherfolk, and faith leaders, from small towns and large cities, are coming together to face this very serious threat to our region and our way of life head on and say no to coal. It's also an issue of whether Portland stands with the 25 cities, counties, and ports who have voiced concern or full opposition to coal exports across the 1,200 miles of impacted rail lines and barge routes. Over 160 elected officials, including Governor Kitzhaber, Senator Merkley, and Representative Blumenauer, 573 health professionals, more than 400 local businesses, and 220 faith leaders, along with many tribal leaders, have joined the growing chorus that at the very least all impacts, both to public health and the environment, should be fully studied and understood in an open, transparent public process before any coal export proposals move forward. Portland prides itself as a standard bearer in the effort to create more sustainable communities. The tens of thousands of Oregonians who spoke up to end the state's reliance on coal-fired power by ensuring the shuttering of the Boardman coal-fired power plant by the end of the decade envisioned a coal-free future for our state and our region, and an economy built on sustainable resource use and clean energy development. Similar fights are being waged across the country, from Chicago, where two of the nation's dirtiest coal plants, responsible for 42 deaths per year, closed permanently just a few weeks ago, to Cincinnati, which became the country's first city to adopt a 100% renewable energy portfolio this summer. The use of coal as an energy source in the U.S. is dropping, from 57% in the late 1980s to just 35% in June of this year. This country is moving away from coal because of the cost to our health, our environment, and our climate are just too high. So the coal industry has a new plan: lease publicly owned coal from public lands in the Powder River Basin at a laughingly low price, on average $1.17 a ton. Get public taxpayer dollars to pay for millions of dollars of upgrades to rail infrastructure. Take advantage of regulations giving preference to large-scale freight rail traffic. Move that strip-mined coal in mile-and-a-quarter-long uncovered trains for 1,200 miles, spewing toxic coal dust and diesel fumes along the way, and ship that coal to the other side of the world, where it will poison Asian populations. The only reason doing so is even remotely potentially profitable is because we, the taxpayers and citizens, will pay so much of those externalized costs with our tax dollars and with our lungs. Coal transport poses significant risks. Just this summer, we know of at least 12 coal train derailments, two of which tragically caused fatalities. One of those derailments occurred in Mesa, Washington, where more than 30 cars derailed. I picked up this coal in Mesa more than 3 weeks after the derailment. The coal was lying in piles, some of which had been covered by very lightweight soil and gravel, some of which remained totally exposed to the elements within yards of houses, a store, and a restaurant. Last month, emergency responders in North Dakota had to make multiple visits to control several fires caused by sparks from passing trains igniting coal dust along the tracks. Kinder Morgan's coal export terminal in Louisiana was completely inundated by heavy rains associated with Hurricane Isaac, and toxic effluent was pumped directly into the Mississippi River. These risks are very real, and they're real to our community as well. In addition, very serious risk questions remain unanswered by the proponents of these proposed coal export facilities, including emergency response capacities. Public relations firms speaking for the coal companies often avoid difficult questions like, What would happen if a barge full of coal caught on fire or sunk in the Columbia River? Does capacity even exist in rural areas to deal with a coal train derailment, fire, or barge accident? Who would pay for the response and the disruption to other rail or river traffic? How would coal dust pollution or the possibility of an in-river spill affect Rainier's drinking water, which is sourced from the Columbia? And very serious questions about these companies' corporate citizenship practices and honesty remain after Amber Energy and Arch Coal lied to citizens and local regulators about their plans to expand the proposed coal export terminal in Longview, Washington, by a factor of 10. So I urge the council today not only to pass this resolution, but please continue to look for ways to ensure that public processes remain transparent, that key questions are answered, that important information about these proposals comes to light, and that the community is protected from the specter of coal so that the many things that make Portland such a desirable place to call home remain. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
For those of you that, there's no clapping. Sorry, no clapping. No clapping. There you go. Thumb exercise. The balcony's doing it better than down here. So.
We're watching.
We'll watch. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you all very much. Colleagues, I'd like to move to public testimony. If you're here in support, would you like to raise your hand right now? Thank you. That's very helpful. Are you going to get to talk as well? But I just wanted to see, I wanted a show of hands to see who is in support. Can you boost my mic at all?
Try.
Let's try this again. Would you please raise your hand if you're here in support of the resolution? All right, that was kind of what I was thinking. Thank you very much. So, colleagues, I'm moving a substitute resolution. It just tightens up the language in the resolution. There's no substantive changes. For instance, the original title called for an area-wide environmental impact statement, and we're now adding a programmatic, comprehensive, and area-wide environmental impact statement. So I move the substitute.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any council discussion on the motion?
Commissioner Fritz, this is the substitute we were furnished with earlier?
Yes.
Thank you.
Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion to substitute?
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
Substitute is the basis of further consideration.
So we'll now, Mayor, move to public testimony and taking in turns a panel in support and a panel in, or testimony opposition.
All right. Let's begin with the opposition. For an opposition to the motion, to the resolution.
That would be the support coal trains list, correct?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Yes. Okay, the first four off that list, please come on up, are Jody, I believe it's Guterzo Parker, Travis Argue, Greg Peden, and Brock Nelson.
Now remember, those of you that are here in opposition to coal exports, this is your opportunity to try out that non-noise-making sort of response, okay? All right.
And
just want to make sure we're all tracking.
And they'll be followed by Michael Lang, Lowell Greenberg, Merle Clifton, and Roger Wynn.
All right, who'd like to begin?
Well, I'll begin. I'm the lady at the table. So, good afternoon, Mayor, Council. My name is Jody Getzler-Parker. I'm here on behalf of Columbia Pacific Building Trades Council. We represent 27 different trades and speak for, let me back that up, I represent 10,000 members here in this Portland metropolitan area. Well, you've heard compelling testimony, and I just want to offer it up that I did not use the thumb exercise. I believe that it is our right, everybody's right, to represent their opinion. So I kind of enjoyed listening to the testimony, although I am in opposition of the resolution that you're trying to adopt. I have an article in my opinion from the Oregonian from September 18th, and I'd like to submit later an email or a letter I wrote. Submit by email to you guys. I apologize for leaving that back at the office. Our council is in support of the coal export facilities. We believe that they'll bring good jobs to the neighboring counties. None of, it's great that Portland has, we're a little bit more bubbling. than our outlying neighbors, and I just believe that we need an opportunity. They need an opportunity. I checked some numbers. It's the last unemployment rate out at Columbia County is 9.5, and that was July 12th's reporting. Overall in Oregon, we know it's 8.9. These are tough times, and not to say that because it's a tough time, we should, run ourselves amok upon the boat of prosperity. But we do need to take into consideration that, you know, it's not 1930. We don't have, you know, coal rocking off the trains and smoke billowing everywhere. There's EPA. Standards, their emissions, their surfactants, like sticky stuff to paint over the top of these rail cars, these, you know, and I'm obviously not a chemist. I'm not a, I don't ride the rails. I don't, but I do tell, I'll tell you, there's people out there that, that want this project. It's kind of alarming to sit here and be pro-coal. You know, given you know what I feel is like the glaring of people behind me,
they're being very polite.
They are. Thanks. So I was going to like, can you pan the camera?
No, they're being very polite.
They're very polite people.
Yeah, okay. we just got this new sound system and it's not working very well. So obviously, we do our best. If we turn it up too much, we get feedback. So sorry about that. Do our best.
Well, again, I
took up some of your time. Would you like to finish your thoughts?
Well, those go on forever. You know that. So in closing, I would just ask that you to let the process take care of itself. There are plenty of communities, Corps of Engineers, plenty of people looking at this. Let's just hold back and see where we end up. Thanks for listening to me today. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
Who would like to go next? Hi, Will.
Hello. I'm Travis Argue. I'm a business agent for Local 290 Plumbers and Pipe Fitters. We support family wage jobs. We build things for a living. This is a big project. There would be a lot of jobs involved with it. I grew up in Columbia County. I still have family there. I realize how depressed the economy there is. The logging has been eliminated. There's just, you know, there's not a lot of opportunity for jobs. So that's one of the reasons that I would like to see this project go. You know, I'm not like Jody said, I'm not a specialist and any other things, but I can tell you that we need jobs in the state of Oregon, and that's what I'm here for.
Thanks for your testimony. Appreciate it. Mr. Peden?
Mayor Adams and members of the City Council, my name is Greg Peden. Today, I'm representing the Alliance of Northwest Jobs and Exports. Our alliance consists of 34 organizations and growing across Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and Montana. All told, our alliance represents more than 195,000 workers and 38,000 businesses. It includes trade associations, unions, companies, and individuals. It is a nonpartisan group funded by a coalition of coal and rail companies. While our alliance supports all of the proposed shipping terminals and coal export projects at their various stages of development, I do not speak for the individual projects. Today, I'm here to talk about Oregon's job and government revenue crisis. As elected officials, you are well aware of the economic hardships your constituents have experienced in the past few years and how that has translated into flat or declining revenues to fund government services. To address this crisis, policymakers, unions, and businesses in Oregon are all working hard to promote policies that put people back to work. Over the long term, putting people back to work is also the best solution to rebuilding the foundations of our fractured tax base. Different parts of Oregon are pursuing different strategies to restore economic growth and opportunity, with each playing to its respective strengths and working to take full advantage of its assets. One of Oregon's most important and valuable assets is our position on the Pacific Rim and our export economy. One in four jobs in our region is trade-related. Another one of Oregon's strengths is our port facilities and their related transportation infrastructure that moves commodities and products effectively in and out of those port facilities. As you all know, over the past 6 years, the state of Oregon has consciously invested in strengthening the transportation infrastructure that supports our export economy. And in 2010, President Obama, recognizing the critical role exports can play in driving America's economic recovery, promised to double U.S. exports over the next 5 years, which he estimated could create 2 million jobs. In other words, expanding our economy is vital to the role, expanding our export economy is vital to Oregon's and the nation's economic recovery. While leading us directly to the issue at hand today, support for new shipping terminals and coal exports in Oregon and Washington. While I cannot speak to the particulars of each individual project, I can testify to the fact that each project will create much-needed jobs for Oregonians and much-needed tax revenues for Oregon government services. New shipping terminals and coal exports will provide an important short- and long-term boost to our regional economy and jobs specifically here in Portland. These proposals will create jobs in construction trades, transportation, manufacturing, and trade, and blue-collar jobs and white-collar jobs. As important, each coal export proposal should and will undergo careful environmental review by the professional regulators, state and federal, to ensure compliance with existing laws. From the construction of new shipping terminals to the safe transportation of the coal, these projects will meet or exceed all existing environmental and safety standards. But as a state with unemployment above the national average that is routinely forced to cut funding for schools, we urge policymakers at all levels of government not to put up new roadblocks to the hundreds of middle-class jobs and millions in tax revenues that coal exports can bring. 10 seconds. Let's be clear. If we don't build the shipping terminals here in Oregon, the jobs, the tax benefits, and yes, the demand for coal energy won't disappear. It'll all just go someplace else. But done right, done the Oregon way, these projects will mean greater economic opportunity and security for Oregonians while also ensuring each project follows the highest standards we have set in the state and the nation. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, Brock.
Hi. Mayor Adams, Commissioners, Brock Nelson.
Sorry, could you turn that button on? Thank you.
You push that one, you have to push a button, the red light comes on. There you go.
Thank you. Mayor Adams, Commissioners, Brock Nelson, Director of Public Affairs for Union Pacific Railroad, headquartered here in Portland. First off, I'd like to start out by saying that UP celebrated its 150th birthday this year. We've been a part of this region and city for a long time, and we're looking forward to the next 150 years. Union Pacific Railroad would like to be on the record in opposition to this resolution as it pertains to the transport of coal by train in the city of Portland. It is clear that this issue of export coal has become an energized and emotional subject in the Portland and in the Northwest region. Wherever you stand on the issue of coal or the use of coal for energy production, Union Pacific would like to ask that when it comes to the topic of rail transport of any commodity, including coal, you look at the facts. The fact is that Union Pacific currently moves approximately 50 train loads of coal on behalf of our customers through thousands of communities around our 23-state network on a daily basis. These coal trains, much like the thousands of trains operating on our system on any given day, are the safest and most environmentally responsible method of moving freight in the country. Although no coal trains currently move through Portland, it is possible that that could change if export facilities are constructed in Oregon and Washington. It would be premature to try to predict how many trains this would mean to the city of Portland, but it appears if you were to add the new coal train traffic that could be reasonably moved by Union Pacific to our current 2012 business volumes, your community would see fewer trains than we moved through here in 2007. Union Pacific has invested over $500 million in our rail infrastructure in Oregon in the past 5 years and will continue to invest to ensure that all products move fluidly and efficiently on our system and in your community. Resolutions suggesting rail transport is not safe imply coal cannot be transported safely by Union Pacific. The fact is we move coal safely on a daily basis in greater quantities than will ever be seen in the city of Portland. Union Pacific would like to continue to work with you and your community as permitting of these coal export facilities unfolds in the months to come. In closing, Union Pacific would ask that you oppose this resolution and instead work with us on ways that we can cooperate on to promote the safe transportation of all commodities. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you all for your testimony. Appreciate
it.
Next four
are Michael Lang, Lowell Greenberg, Merle Clifton, and Roger Wynn. And they will be followed by Russ Garnett, Wally Mahrens, Norm Santana, and Jim Plunkett.
Mr. Lang?
Mr. Mayor?
Would you like to begin?
I would. Thank you. My name's, for the record, Michael Lang. I'm Conservation Director with Friends of the Columbia Gorge. We really appreciate the fact that you're holding this hearing today and also accepting comments. And I'll need my reading glasses. Thank you. On behalf of Friends, I want to thank the Portland City Council for proposing a resolution calling for an area-wide environmental impact statement that studies the cumulative and comprehensive impacts of all five coal export facilities before any may be approved. In addition, the resolution calls for a health impacts assessment prior to the approval of any permits for coal export facilities. By adopting this resolution, Portland will join the growing list of towns and cities around the region that have taken a stand from outright opposition to an increase in coal exports to calling for a thorough environmental analysis of coal export impacts before any facilities are approved. All of these, if all of these proposals are approved, 150 million tons of coal would be transported through the Columbia River Gorge annually to export facilities in Oregon and Washington. This would double U.S. coal exports and turn the Columbia River Gorge, our national scenic treasure, into the nation's coal chute to Asia. This would be a travesty. Friends is opposed to this. All of these proposals rely on rail transportation, one form or another, of 1.5-mile-long trains with open coal cars. Railroads have claimed that each car, and these are the railroads that produce these numbers, each car loses up to 1 ton of coal in transport, spewing toxic coal dust in communities across Montana, Idaho, Washington, and Oregon. Toxic diesel emissions from these trains would endanger human health all along the rail routes. Currently, one or two coal trains go through the gorge daily. It's a regular occurrence that gorge residents report getting pelted by coal fragments and dust near the tracks as trains go by. I personally know of one gorge resident who just a few weeks ago almost got into a head-on accident involving a logging truck and another car because their vision was obscured, visibility was obscured on Highway 14 due to coal dust. Just this week, a reporter with the Dallas Chronicle reported that she had witnessed large amounts of coal dust spewing from coal trains and impeding traffic on adjacent highways. Any increase in coal traffic is completely unacceptable. And if approved, the current proposals would increase coal train traffic by around 30 times in the Columbia River Gorge. Again, this is unacceptable. When we talk to communities in the Columbia River Gorge, this is a unifying bridge issue. Regardless of political party affiliation, Tea Party or environmentalists, you name it, communities are concerned, and they're joining together and adopting resolutions, asking for a thorough analysis of the impacts of coal exports on their communities. And Portland will be joining the ranks of Hood River, Mosier, Dallasport, Camas, Washougal, and many other communities in raising these same concerns. We applaud you for that. These export proposals would also overload existing rail lines, and we're concerned that it would lead to double or triple tracking through the Columbia River Gorge through environmentally sensitive areas throughout the gorge, violating the purposes and the standards of the National Scenic Area Act. So in conclusion, Friends of the Columbia Gorge is opposed to any increase in coal exports, and we applaud the City Council for addressing this issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much. No. No. Did you miss the part about no clapping? Is it because you couldn't hear me? No clapping. If you like it, thumbs up. If you don't like it, thumbs down. Who would like to go next? Go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to thank Amanda, Sam, and Nick for being here and their support. So thank you. My name is Lowell Greenberg. I'm speaking as a private citizen, though I've done work with Power Pass Coal and the Community Alliance Against Coal. You've come here today to debate discuss a non-binding resolution that will hopefully oppose the existence of coal export terminals in the Pacific Northwest. Sitting here are representatives from various environmental groups and private citizens. Each individual, while sharing a common goal, which is the betterment of their community, has a different reason for being here. For me, words are inadequate to express how I feel. My convictions and sense of desperation are such that I have been arrested twice in acts of civil disobedience on environmental-related causes. And my hope by doing so is that by setting an example, others, perhaps some here today, will step forward as well and do more. So why am I so motivated? The health effects of coal dust on children, on seniors, is devastating. The diesel pollution from trains is a known carcinogen. The chances for more deadly train derailments are greatly increased. The destruction of salmon due to the contamination of rivers is heightened. The aquifers along the train routes destroyed. There are many reasons like these. Each, while expressed coldly in mere words, has the potential to kill and maim people like yourselves and families like your own. We could legitimately ask why the federal government is not stepping in to protect us, why a regional or programmatic environmental impact study is either being skirted at the present time or is only under consideration by the Army Corps of Engineers. Why coal has a stranglehold on government at all levels, particularly in places like West Virginia and Tennessee and other parts of the country? The answers to these questions are important because at their root, they point to a major failing, in my view, of our democracy, one you here today are beginning or are to begin to correct. Finally, to be honest, I'm not here for any of the reasons I just mentioned, no matter how important they are. I'm here because 80% of this country right now is in drought due to climate change. People are dying around the globe from drought, thirst, hunger, fires, and extremes of climate resulting from climate change. I'm here because I know that unless we change course, like the unwitting but far from innocent passengers of the Titanic, we will rob ourselves, our children, all children, the possibility of not merely having a better future, but having a future at all. Why? Because we thought our science was invincible, because we chose to ignore these and 1,000 more warning signs. I am here to change the course of the planetary Titanic so that children on board will sleep in peaceful dreams and wake up to a world that still has the beauty you and I cherish, not a place of living nightmares. The reign of coal must end.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Ma'am, would you like to be?
Yes, my name is Merle Clifton, and I am a citizen of Portland. I live in Northeast Portland, and I am here as an individual. And I don't want to repeat all the arguments and the reasons that we need a full environmental impact study. I just want you to know that I urge you to approve it. And I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for bringing this forward and for your being here and for this opportunity to participate in a democracy the way it should be, with all sides being heard and openly. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you. Hi, welcome. Can you push that button? That's the only one that needs activation. There you go.
My name is Roger Wynn. I think the arguments are mostly in about whether or not there are jobs to be created, and some of the points of view are pretty obvious. The coal companies, the train companies, the unions all argue that there would be jobs created, but there's a huge audience in the society that is not well represented, and I think most of us are here speaking on their behalf. For instance, at a recent press conference at the Corps of Engineers, there was a city councilwoman from one of the cities along the train line who said that the business and climate in that little town was 70% dependent on the tourist trade, and the railroad tracks run right through the middle of the city. If all those coal trains run through there, it would have a devastating effect on their community, and all the cities along the route could make similar claims. In terms of the world effects of this, contributing coal to the world market simply lowers the price, encourages more use of coal, and therefore delays the pursuit of alternative energies. So exporting coal is a bad thing. Thank you.
Appreciate it. So the next four
are Russ Garnett, Wally Mayrins, Norm Santana, and Jim Plunkett. And they'll be followed by Joan Belden, Mac McKinley, Nadine Zimmer, and Dennis Retlett.
Mr. Marins, nice to see you again.
Hey, Wally, it's great to be seen.
It's working. Mr. Marins, would you like to begin?
I would.
I'm here in support.
You can just move that closer to...
In opposite, thank you.
There you go.
In opposition to the proposed, is it an ordinance?
Resolution.
Yep. Non-binding resolution. Simple, short as I possibly can do. Jobs, good jobs are definitely needed, especially up in Columbia County and Morrow County. And jobs with health care and pensions. I moved here from Montana in 1965. I know I'm wandering. In 1965, I worked on a smelter. And one of the things that I did on the smelter, I was a switchman and an engineer on a coal train that collected arsenic from the smelter. That was 40 years ago. I'm still up and breathing. And all I can say is, of all the things that are needed right now, nothing is more important than good paying jobs. And my brother from the pipe fitters earlier forgot to mention, when we're talking about environmental impacts, plumbers have been providing us clean water for a few centuries now. And so environmental is a very big deal when it comes to the trades. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's good to see you. Sir, would you like to go next?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, commissioners. My name is Jim Plunkett. I'm a credentialed climate activist. I had other things to do, but I slowly came to realize the urgency of our situation with respect to CO2 in the atmosphere. I believe there is disaster in our future. In a democracy, we are all responsible for expressing ourselves and lending what guidance we can. I understand that it is up to me to make a difference. And I say this with humility because I know that you had that thought long before I did and you ran for office. I thank you for the work you do in making difficult decisions on our behalf. That's why you're here, to make a difference. So my communication with you is very simple. I'm asking you to identify yourself as a climate activist too. The world cannot endure the continued burning of coal. We have to keep that Powder River Basin coal in the ground. There are plenty of other reasons for refusing coal trains, but global warming is the big sooty asthmatic elephant in the room. Maybe not this room. Elephant wouldn't show up here. How will we feel as responsible adults when some kid asks you if you know why the Mount Hood glaciers are all melting, or the students at a Portland elementary school decide they can't in good conscience ride to school in a school bus that burns fossil fuel, or Portland State students come together to tell us that all their LEED buildings actually delayed our response to climate change and that we have pursued policies that recklessly endanger their future. Please say no to coal exports. Thank you.
Thank you. And this is a panel otherwise for coal exports. So thank you for your testimony. Sir.
Yeah, my name's Norm Santana. I live in downtown Portland. Uh, You know, I think the construction of the terminals